season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold him out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play.
And Clemson runs out of the field and celebrates. They come to California and strike gold. Clemson's going to the Elite Eight.
Out of bounds.
The center fielder at the wall. It's out of here. It's out of here. Got the distance. Does it have the accuracy?
Yo, you don't even know what stupid is. It's about to get all stupid up in here.
It's time.
All right, let's do this. Match point, touchdown, etc.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We are live on the Roar on a Wednesday, December 10th, 2025. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quaggenbush, Sam Jones, live inside the Upcountry Fiber studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. We have lots to do today. I'm looking out in the lobby, and it's just a bundle of Christmas joy in the lobby today. There's tree decorating going on. There's just a fun office vibe today.
Keanu brought pizza.
And I'm about it. Shout out to Keanu for making a pizza run for us, bringing the beverages, non-alcoholic beverages. I feel like people think at times that we're just running a madman operation here where everyone's getting sloshed at 10:30 in the morning.
Hammering a Sprite right now.
That's right. Just absolutely pounding it. You, buddy, have earned it. You have earned it. This is hour seven of the
fun,
Sam
man.
Jones show.
We're having fun. I was getting a little tired during Faxon's show, and then he started yelling for like an hour. If anybody wants to know what a Saturday morning in the Jones Childress apartment looks like when Tottenham Hotspur are playing, there you go. That's the last hour right there. That is every Spurs game. That's what you get to wake up to.
I appreciate
and it's
that
deserved,
I'm
to be fair.
I'm not the only one here that just bleeds the audio. I learned that today.
We got some static on the audio for the first time that I had ever heard. That's how passionate he got. You did that. You've been doing it with Notre Dame this week. Faxon dove into Clemson. I don't know if we have any today. I don't know what you've got in store. Usually we take a segment or two to warm up, but it's been a busy morning.
I'm just sad. I'm really sad that the Notre Dame fans. I actually texted someone today. It was Ben Milstead. I texted Ben Milstead. I said, you know, they're just bad at arguing. They don't even have good argument. It's not even fun. It's not even fun to argue with the Notre Dame people because they're just not good at it. They're just picking really dumb things to say. Like if you had a logical argument, then it would be more enjoy. I like to argue. I enjoy it, okay? My wife does not. I've said this before. My mom likes to argue. My dad does not.
Arguing's fun.
I think argumentation rules the world. I think arguing your point and basically point, counterpoint, seeding points, like I just think that's fun. I think that's a fun way to do life. That's how we learn and grow and we hear people's perspectives. Like if we're open to other opinions and we're like having a legitimate argument, that's fine. Arguing with Notre Dame people is like arguing with somebody in a different galaxy. Like, they're just not, like, you can't pick your own set of facts. You can't just say, Michael Scott, I declare bankruptcy. You can't just say the ACC and Notre Dame are business partners and just have that stand as if Notre Dame and Miami are the same. You can't just do that. It's not fun. It's become not fun. And I've become increasingly sad about the Notre Dame fans. It is a fine institute of higher learning in these United States.
Gorgeous campus.
A degree from Notre Dame carries lots of weight, and yet some of the biggest idiots I've ever come across have put shamrocks in their bio, and they all have put shamrocks in their bio. There's the Venn diagram between people who have made stupid arguments with me on Twitter this week and people who have shamrocks in their bio are two concentric circles. two overlapping circles. Is it concentric? Concentric circles are just circles that are inside each other. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Sorry, I shouldn't have even.
What's the word? Which one are we? Which
shouldn't
one are
have
we
even asked that. It's two overlapping circles. It's just one circle laid directly on top of another circle. There is no. The Venn diagram is
concentric
just two
of or denoting circles, arcs, or other shapes which share the same center. The larger often completely surrounding the smaller.
Okay, so it's two. It's two identical circles that are laid on top of each other. That's what I'm saying. So it's that part's not even fun. The new Notre Dame argument, by the way, the new one is, well, we're not even mad that Notre Dame was mentioned. We're mad that Notre Dame was the only one mentioned. Where was the argument for BYU and Utah and Alabama? And my honest to God, I read those tweets and I go, oh, honey. Oh, you poor, poor thing. You've been so traumatized by this week.
I don't think making a BYU argument would go well for Notre Dame fans, because BYU probably has a better argument.
Oh, honey.
Do they have a better argument?
Listen, arguing Miami and Alabama is stupid. Because no one was arguing Miami and Alabama. If Miami and Alabama having an argument was not stupid, people would have been making it. The easiest argument for Miami to get in was because Miami beat the team that was directly the last team in. Miami beat the last team in, which just happened to be Notre Dame. It's not personal. I've been saying it's not personal. They beat you, and you happen to be the last team in. It's just it's a bad circumstance for everybody involved. It's a bad circumstance. Oh, you sweet baby. You sweet, sweet baby with your still-developing brain. It boggles my mind. It boggles my mind that people would say that. Well, why would you not argue with Utah? Well, why would Miami be comparing itself to a team that's further from the playoff than them? Why would they argue against BYU? They have no argument. I've asked Notre Dame fans, how would you argue Miami in, Alabama out, and not mention Notre Dame? And no one has actually said that. No one has actually offered me. They just basically say, well, it has to exist. Well, it doesn't have to exist. If it existed, you would know. If it was a good argument, you would have made it. Other people would have made it. Also, furthermore, I had a couple people that said, well, why didn't they also show the Florida State-Alabama game? You mean the game between two teams that weren't Miami or Notre Dame? You mean the game that didn't involve Miami? The game that involved a 5-7 ACC team beating Alabama? Like, let's be clear about something. Arguing that Miami should get in over Alabama and not arguing, which is what the Notre Dame people want you to do. They want you to not argue that Miami should have been over Notre Dame, but that they should have been in over Alabama is insane. Because why would I put Miami in over Alabama if I'm not putting them in over Notre Dame? Why would I do that? The first and only argument is that Miami should have been in over Notre Dame. So I've gone from, like, this is absurd and mad about it to, like, oh, you poor, sweet, innocent little baby. Oh, man. One day, you'll be able to argue like a grown-up. One day, your brain will not be broken. One day, your soul will be intact. And I get it, man. It's been a hard week for the Notre Dame people. Very hard week for the Notre Dame people, and they should be crushed. But that doesn't mean that we take our brains and throw them in the trash. We can't do that. If you notice, Sam, I'm trying to take a calmer attack today. I'm trying to be a little more rational. Will Vandervoort's going to join us at 2:05. We've got a couple hilarious stories. Well, one hilarious story. Maybe some others to come. We've got one interesting story that is sort of sports adjacent that we'll share as well. Do you feel good, though? Like, 6 hours in?
I feel fine.
You feel good?
This is
your work day?
This is easy.
Easy stuff.
This is easy.
I'm going to give you dibs here, okay? I'm going to give you dibs. Do you want to talk about what Faxon was yelling about, or do you want to talk about basketball last night?
Oh, good.
Those are your options. Option C is...
Dirt versus, I don't even know.
Yeah, option C would be the Notre Dame option, which is it has to exist, but then you look around and it's not. We have to talk about both of those things.
we should probably start with the basketball game because it happened last night and that was a fun one.
Yeah. So let me just point out a couple things from the basketball game last night. Clemson loses 67-64 at the buzzer to BYU after. I mean, there's no way to say it other than they blew a 22-point lead. They blew a 21-point halftime lead. Now, if you believe that basketball is a game of runs, you believe that Clemson went on an historic run, scoring the last 21 points of a half, and BYU had an historic second half. Those would be your that would be your framing. We know that's not really true. And here's what was true of the Clemson run at the end of the first half, and it was true of the BYU run in the second half, that both teams were instrumental. Like, one of the things that I have had to tell myself over and over and over and over again this morning, over and over and over again, is that BYU helped Clemson tremendously score 21 consecutive points in the first half, to close the first half. And Clemson helped BYU tremendously in outscoring Clemson in the second half of that basketball game last night, 45-21. It took two to tangle on both ends. The thing that I was most disappointed in is that Clemson's brand of basketball was decisive and unselfish. I would say unselfish in every way. They were quicker. They were first on the floor. They were quicker to lose balls. They were decisive, but not in a hurry. They were patient, but not slow. Okay? Now, again, you would have to look at examples of both of those things. In the first half, Clemson was patient, but not in a hurry. And they were decisive, but not slow. In the second half, they were slow. They were slow. Now, I texted some people last night, and my primary frustration with the second half is BYU comes out with a press, Clemson attacks the press and then stops, waits for BYU to get set, and then passes the ball back and forth for 22 seconds, and then takes a wild shot with 2 seconds on the shot clock. That's what I saw last night. Now, it should be noted that there was a gargantuan human being in the middle that had three blocks last night, and Kiba Keita, who had 10.7 rebounds, 3 blocks, 2 steals, really changed a lot for Clemson inside the arc, inside the paint. But Clemson's offense was completely stagnant. There was no purposeful ball reversal. There was a lot of hesitation. There was a lot of stand around. They were not persistent getting the ball inside. They were persistent in trying to get the ball inside in the first half. And it helped them, throwing the ball into the post. They did not see the extra pass very well. And then, you know, in the most basketball way, they just missed shots. They missed some open ones. They missed some contested ones. They didn't see some plays that were available to be made. And guess what? BYU did. BYU decided at halftime that if we're going to lose, we're going to lose playing high ball screen, iso ball with the best player in the gym. That's what they did. And it was jarring that about midway through, I started getting That's So Raven style flashbacks where I would just leave my body. I know in the case of That's So Raven, nobody asked for this, but in That's So Raven, she sees the future. But it felt like I was leaving where I was and I was going back to June when my favorite professional basketball team down the stretch of games had to guard very simple actions against very good players like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And in the second half, A.J. DeBanza turned into Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It was mid-range city where he just torched every matchup. He got by Jake Wallin. He got over Dylan Hunter. He shot over, he sort of got around R.J. Godfrey. He shot over Justin Porter. It didn't matter. He won his matchups the entire second half. And the Clemson thing that was problematic is that Clemson no longer was the harder working team. Now, that had a lot to do with BYU working harder. I don't think Clemson necessarily worked less hard, but I do think that BYU began to win the 50-50 balls. They began to be first on the floor. They began to get second chances, and they were decisive but not quick, and they were patient but not slow. That's what I would say about BYU in the second half.
You know, I talked about it a lot. I talked about it for two segments today on Mickey's show with Keanu and Mickey, the intricacies of why Clemson lost this game, the basketball reasons, all that. Faxon and John talked about it for an hour and a half. All correct. Everything you just said, correct. I really think you can sum this game up to A.J. DeBonsa, and that's it, because BYU has an A.J. DeBonsa. Clemson doesn't have it. And you don't even need it to be A.J. DeBonsa specifically or a player even that good. But Clemson doesn't have a guy who can do 60% of the things that A.J. DeBonsa can do on offense. They don't have anybody who can break down a defense on his own and self-create right now. Ideally, one day Zach Foster is that guy, but he's not right now. Whether it's confidence, just general lack of development so far because he's a freshman, inefficiency, all of it put together. When BYU needed a bucket, DeBonsa got to the free throw line. BYU needed a big board, DeBonsa had 9 of them. BYU needed somebody other than DeBonsa to score on offense. Two guys crowded DeBonsa on the three-point line at the wing. He lobs it up to Kata, who's standing in the dunker spot pretty much uncovered because he owned Carter Welling all night, unfortunately. And DeBonsa found him on the lob. DeBonsa ran every single thing that BYU did last night. And Rob Wright hit the last shot, but they're only in that position because he outscored Clemson in the second half on his own. Clemson just doesn't have that alpha number one guy this year. And it's kind of the biggest concern we've had all year with them. It's kind of the biggest concern for long-term sustainability for this team going into March, winning a game in March if they want to do that, winning a couple games in March. They need to have a number one scoring option when stuff gets slow and the offense gets stagnant and the ball sticks and every possession's 27 seconds long and ends in a bad shot like last night. They don't have that guy. Last year it was Chase Hunter. He was a little inconsistent, but that's what he could do. They don't have him. BYU had him last night. Richie Saunders had 5 points in this game. Clemson did as good of a job, I think, realistically, on everybody other than DeBonsa and Kata that they possibly could. But he was so transcendently good last night, and Clemson so obviously didn't have anything like that to counter it in the second half, that it didn't really matter what happened in that first half because he took the game over and decided he wanted to win in the second half. And he did. Which is rare because Clemson usually does a pretty good job against those highly touted NBA guys. They had nothing for him in the second half.
We're going to talk about that more on the other side. You want to get in on that or on some of the football personnel news, some bowl game stuff? We'll get to that. 654 Roar is the number. Hour one of the program continues right after this.
Contractors, we know what it takes to build something great. Long days, hard work, and the right materials. At Harbin Lumber Company, we're here to make sure you've got everything you need to get the job done. Since 1917, we've been your trusted partner in building dreams. From framing lumber to finished materials. When you work with Harbin, you're not just getting quality supplies, you're getting a team that's got your back. Visit one of our local lumber yards today and let's build dreams together.
Ever tried calling an insurance company after a wreck or work injury? Press 1 for confusion, press 2 for excuses, press 3 to never speak to a human again. I'm Trey Mills with the Tramwin Mills Law Firm, and we don't play those games. If you've been injured, we take on the insurance company so you don't have to. You focus on the healing, and we'll handle the headaches. Call 864-485-8585 or visit us at tramonmills.com. We don't let them mess around and get away with it.
Currently car shopping? State Credit Union now has auto loan rates as low as 4.25% APR. Plus, you'll have no car payment for up to 90 days, just in time for the holidays. Visit one of State Credit Union's 19 full-service branches or their website, scscu.com, and apply online for your new car loan today. That's scscu.com. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
At Ingles, we know that fresh means local. The best ingredients don't come from a world away. They come from your own backyard. Which is why we rise to the challenge of providing the freshest items you'll find anywhere. Getting our foods from the farms we support, to the stores we love, to the tables you treasure. Ingles, we're with you every step of the way.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit engineersleep.com.
Clemson fans, this is your store. The Tiger Sports Shop has the best selection of Clemson apparel, accessories, and game day essentials. Nike, Lululemon, polos, hoodies, hats, tees, you name it, we've got it. Plus, by joining our Tiger Rewards loyalty program, you'll earn points and unlock exclusive perks throughout the season. Shop local at our two Clemson locations or visit us online anytime at tigersports.com. Don't just cheer for the Tigers, wear your pride. The Tiger Sports Shop, your Clemson headquarters.
Go Tigers!
Attention student athletes. Don't let injury or surgery keep you on the sidelines longer than it should. Get back in the game faster with Ortho Laser Spartanburg. Our state-of-the-art FDA-approved laser therapy is the strongest on the market, designed to reduce swelling, relieve pain, and speed up recovery. And now, with special student pricing, there's no better time to heal smarter, not harder. Whether you're in high school or college, Ortho Laser is here to help you return to peak performance. Visit our website, recoverwithlight.com. Get back in the game with Ortho Laser Spartanburg.
Don't let your basement become a wet and moldy nightmare. It's a valuable space in your home and it should be treated that way. We understand that a dry basement is a healthy basement. Our experts have the technology to keep your basement dry and mold free. All of our services come with a transferable warranty and the financing is available. Call Canty today, 864-641-0176. Or visit CantyCanFixIt.com.
Embrace the horizon at Longview, Carolina, your private agri-hood in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Home sites average over an acre, giving you the opportunity to own a piece of your very own mountain. With 50-mile panoramic views, a stone's throw from Easley, and a short drive from Clemson and Greenville, Longview, Carolina is your gateway to resilient living. Explore a life unbound. Visit LongviewCarolina.com for your personal tour. Longview, Carolina, worlds apart, minutes away.
New Teak Boutique and Four Men on Exchange on Pendleton Square have great new arrivals. Perfect for tailgating, refreshing your home decor, leveling up your fashion, and so much more. While you're there, be sure to check out our new fall and holiday decor items, women's boutique clothing, and gifts. Shop for yourself, a friend, or a head start on your Christmas list. It will be here before you know it. 122 East Main Street in Pendleton. Thanks for shopping at New Teak Boutique and Four Men on Exchange.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Roar, the only place in the Upstate where you can get 13 hours of live and local sports talk daily. Oh, believe me, we've checked. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Whiskey River, don't run dry. I fire all I got to carry me. Whiskey River, take my mind.
You know, we got some good texts on this during the break on the Adams Curving text line. Love to hear from you today. 654-7627-654-ROAR is the number you want to get in on the phones or on the Adams Curving text line. I do agree with this. Texter says, from the 864, a win last night makes you a proven team that will be assumed in the field of 68 as long as you don't pick up bad losses. The loss means you're a team that still needs to prove yourself with a complete game and win against an elite team. I agree with that 100%. You beat BYU, that is your best win. I'm not sure you even have a chance to get a win better than that. I told somebody last night, BYU is like a slightly worse, really good Duke team, with like seven really good players and a star, like a pro star and a college star and a big that's a nightmare. It's like a slightly worse, really good Duke team. BYU could be a Final Four team, easily find their way to the Final Four. And that would have been the best one on your resume, period. No question about it.
That's the best team you're going to see in the non-con. That's a better team than Alabama.
I agree with that.
Now,
I agree
maybe
with that.
Going on the road is a different thing, but you were in that building in Tuscaloosa. That wasn't exactly a raucous environment. So,
now, the crickets I heard during most of the first and second half would agree with you. This hour brought to you by our friends at Underdog. Dave, we're coming right to you, but I got to talk about Underdog. Last night, do you know what I did? I looked at Underdog. I didn't play Underdog last night. I probably shouldn't admit this, but I didn't play. You know why? Because I'm getting smarter. I'm getting wiser. And the couple things I really believed in, I just was like, I don't know if I can do those point totals. But then, you know, I went back and I said, you know what I can do? I can drop down the point totals for a lesser payout, and those are palatable numbers. So I did that and won a little coin last night. That's just what you do in Underdog. And look, playing on Underdog is super easy. It's the best way to play daily fantasy, making picks, winning money right now in South Carolina. You pick whether your favorite player is going to higher or lower on their stats during basketball season. This is a must for me. It is a must for you as well. Download the app today. Use promo code OOB to score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/ playing get terms underscore DFS underscore .html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Let's go to Dave in Simpsonville, who's up with us next. What's up, Dave?
Good afternoon, William. You know, I'm going to be with you today, and I'm going to be very low-key about my comments today. But, you know, if you are an aficionado of Saturday Night Live, and see, I grew up when it first started back in the mid-70s, and what they liked to coin their actors were not ready for primetime players. I think we can all agree that after the two last showings of Clemson basketball, these guys are also not ready for prime time. And coupled with the fact that you throw in the McNeese State game on the biggest stage, they are not ready for prime time. And, you know, my question is why in the blue bloody gosh almighty do you not guard the inbounds pass? You know, I look at that and I go, you had two guys open. You had two guys out there, the guy standing by out of bounds throwing the inbound pass, and the BYU guy picks it up, splits the defense, and scores the three-point bucket. If you just give a little bit of eyesight problems for the thrower, then maybe he doesn't get the shot off and we go into overtime. I just, you know, the shot brought back images of the UConn game where Cliff Ellis's year, where we give up the shot, it goes in, we lose in the Sweet 16. It just was really a painful train wreck to watch, but you couldn't take your eyes off of it because you wanted to see the dead bodies coming out. And you know, lastly, I'm going to defend the non-denooners. I'm right there with you guys. I'm a 62-year crusty old fart that just abhors paying these athletes all of this money for them to give the performances that they gave this year in football. You know, I love the fact that we were able to beat South Carolina. We had a pick six. We did shut down their offense, and that was great. But you go back and you look at Duke, you look at Syracuse, you look at SMU, and even Georgia Tech, and you go, if you'd have just put an inkling of more effort out there instead of worrying about your paycheck, we might be having a different conversation this season. But anyway, guys, appreciate you letting me in, and have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thanks very much, Dave. Appreciate the phone call. I'm not going to say that physical effort was not a factor at times. My stance all along this year with Clemson football is that it was more mental effort. It was not being disciplined enough with your eyes and not being diligent enough in your reads and understanding responsibilities to be able to put yourself in a position to make a physical football play. Sometimes there were effort issues. I think there were a lot of players that sometimes had effort issues. I don't think that physical effort was a lot of the, like, for example, the run game. I think a lot of, and I'll say this too, you know, I think it's true in a lot of things where a lack of conviction in what you're doing for any number of reasons, a lack of conviction leads to timidity. Or it leads to confusion, overthinking, that sort of stuff. There's a lack of conviction. Sometimes that lack of conviction is on the person that prepared you to go do the job. Sometimes it's on coaches. Sometimes it's on me as the player who needs to be just more convicted in what I'm doing because it's the thing that I'm doing. But I think in a lot of ways, the safety position in particular, I think there was a lack of conviction in what they were doing. I think across the secondary, there was a lack of conviction in what they were doing for a couple games in there, and it got better over the course of the year.
I don't think it was a physical effort thing either, but what you said about the mental part, I mean, you can, if you're a safety, you're supposed to provide over-the-top coverage and you break in on a route over the middle of the field. That's not a lack of physical effort. You're physically doing the wrong thing.
Right, that's
but,
right.
But you're trying.
That's right.
It's you didn't know the play. You had a miscommunication somehow. That stuff can't happen. That's the mental sharpness that I don't think we saw consistently from a few position groups, not just the secondary, this season. But, yeah, there were a couple games where I said maybe they were loafing a little bit. But generally speaking, the way the season finished with winning however many games four to end the year that they did, beating South Carolina, grinding out that Louisville game where they simply just didn't let themselves beat themselves. They let Louisville beat themselves. That showed that they weren't, they were trying. The effort was there at the end. So they were out there giving it their best. I don't know if mentally they had everything fully where it needed to be, though.
What we're going to talk about that more in a little bit. I do want to address the basketball part because we got Zeke on hold too, who wants to talk about basketball, I would imagine. To me, I think it's a fair question what Dave asked about the inbounder, guarding the inbounds pass. Clemson was sort of, and I'd have to go back and watch just specifically, but Clemson was sort of just in, it was almost like they were in gaps coverage. It was sort of like they weren't really guarding people. It was almost like a zone on a sideline out of bounds. It wasn't a face guarding anybody. It wasn't any of that. They were just sort of splitting gaps where they thought BYU was going to go. Now, one of the things I loved about yesterday is that you could hear everything Kevin Young was saying in the huddle. What they did was not the first option. One of the shooters was supposed to come off, and that was going to be the first option. What they did was not the first option. Here's what I would have done. Okay, here's what I would have thought. They've got a guy in the backcourt that is designed to try to drag a defender away from the play. So I'm sort of thinking to myself, that guy's probably not a factor. If he becomes a factor, he's going to have to take a really difficult shot and make it, and we're going to have people there. Clemson didn't have somebody in their face. Clemson had two guys flanking a guy, catching a pass on the run, on the move, who shot an off-balance three and made it. Like, I ain't mad. It ain't like Clemson let a guy catch it at the elbow, turn, and shoot. You know?
I was honestly terrified that Clemson, because BYU took a lot longer getting the ball up the court to advance than I thought they would. They inbounded with, what, 5.1 on the clock from the baseline. Rob Wright took four whole seconds to get
out there. Look for the ref.
He got across midcourt at about 2.8, didn't call the timeout, dribbled it up another two steps, called timeout. I was kind of worried they were going to get lobbed on, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That was working all game long. I thought they would put too much attention on Wright and Dibonsa, and then they would get beat backdoor by Kata or something. It wasn't a horribly high percentage shot. Great player hit a great shot. That was one of my least of my concerns throughout the second half of that game, honestly. That one goes in, it goes in. I couldn't believe that the game was even tied, to be blunt with you. At one point, Timberlake literally said after a dunk to make it a 5-point or a 6-point game with a minute left, he said, "That'll be the game." And then Clemson comes down and hits a couple threes.
Came right back.
So
right back. Let's go to Zeke, who's up with us next before we take our next break. What's up, Zeke?
Well, what's up, man? Yeah, I'm not sure some Clemson fans are really looking at the big picture. I look at everything here. Number one, Brad Brunell has put this program in a position to be invited to play in Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
Against a top 10 team. Okay, this is a football school. That's where he's put your basketball program. I love for my football coach to put my football program in that type of position.
That's a great point.
So that's number one. I mean, seriously, it's like, okay, man. I mean, number two is basketball. Dean Smith said one time, I was literally at the interview walk, and he said, the most overrated thing in sports is a halftime score. And it really is. They played the second half in football and basketball for a reason. That was a game of two halves. I thought Clemson played about as well as a team can play basketball in the first half. They were the aggressor. I think they threw such a nasty right hook and about knocked BYU out. It didn't, but it stumbled them. And it had them on their heels. I think in the second half, I was even Clemson lost a little of their aggressiveness, but mainly because y'all said it best. Sometimes in sports, the other team just has that player that you don't have, and you can throw the kitchen sink at them. Every time Duke steps on the court, they know most nights they're going to have the best player in Cam Boozer. North Carolina knows it in Caleb Wilson. Kansas knows it in Darren Peterson. And BYU knows it also. And I think you give Clemson credit for playing a heck of a first half, almost winning that game. You learn from it. Everybody loses in December. Everybody pretty much will lose. Well, Michigan might not lose, but we'll see. But everybody loses
hey,
in
December. If Michigan doesn't cover the spread every game, I'll be shocked.
Cover the spread by 30.
I've never seen a team as – they're basically a serial killer. They're just mowing people down and leaving bodies everywhere. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they're hot. And the other thing is this freshman class, you talk about A.J., when we talk about this freshman class with Peterson, with Boozer, with Wilson, these are not your typical freshmen that we're seeing out there. And Clemson gets to, Clemson will get to see two more guys that are just elite, elite players that are freshmen. But I just look at the big picture and say Brad Brunell has done such a good job that, tell me if I'm wrong, Qualk, I don't follow Clemson as much as you do, but I think he replaced four starters.
Four starters. That's right. Basically, every player that contributed last year, but Dylan Hunter. Left
90% of their
all
scoring.
Right. So he takes that team. He beats in my opinion, will be a quad one Georgia win. I believe at the end of the year to be a quad one West Virginia win. He has a tough loss to Georgetown on their home court. Then he goes against quad one loss at Bama on their home court, and a quad one loss to Connecticut. Quark, I think Clemson is about 9 points from being undefeated, ranked in the top 15 now. Yeah, we can play the what-if games, but my gosh, man, it's December, and it's early December. He's still got a lot of gelling to do, working with to do. I even looked at my team, North Carolina. Cuber Davis is top 8 players without Trimble. None of them played at North Carolina last year. So these teams are still works in progress, all of them. And I just give kudos to Brad Brunell. I thought he coached a heck of a game, but Qualk, sometimes, well, I'll give you an example of your football program. When Deshaun Watson played, you knew every game you played, you had the best player on the field. You knew it with Trevor Lawrence. Well, Brigham Young has that feeling, and a few other programs have that player that they have the best player. And if that best player plays their best and rises to the challenge, there's not a lot of other teams can do about that. So, big picture, great representation for the conference. I think Clemson sets around 26 to 29, that range, right now. And if I'm correct, Qualk, right now, you're going to have a shot of about 10 quad one games in the ACC because of the performances of the conference. So a lot of positives, man. Yeah, that loss stings. I loved it for the conference. I just look at the picture and go, Brad Brunell has done a phenomenal job with that program. That program is in a great position. I think right now them and Virginia are right around fourth after Carolina, well, Duke, Virginia, Duke, Carolina, and Louisville. And that puts you as a tournament team. This is a good team that's only going to get better. So, that's my call. It's that lot to be proud of for Clemson basketball and Brad Brunell. He'll learn from it. They'll grow from it. And guess what, Qualk? You won't see any more AJs, even in the conference. Neither Boozer or Wilson are those types of players. So you won't see anybody of what you saw last night. Throwing a point guard who's an NBA point guard and a really big man. Nah, man, great representation by Clemson and the conference, in my opinion, Qualk.
I agree with you, Zeke. We got to run. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. Got a lot to say on that. We'll do it on the other side. Stay with us.
This Saturday, the Clemson Tigers are back at home inside Little John Coliseum as they play host to the Mercer Bears. After several games away from home, Coach Brunell and his guys are looking to reset back at home with a win. Broadcast begins at 2:30 with tip at 3. Catch it all right here on the Clemson Athletic Network.
We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
It's been an incredible year of college football, and once again, The Roar will host our annual bowl game preview show Thursday at Mellow Mushroom Clemson from 5 till 8. How many of y'all had Indiana ranked number one going in? What about JMU getting in for the first time ever? We'll have lots to talk about, whether it's the Snoop Dogg Bowl or the Natty. Join the Roar staff Thursday from 5 till 8, Mellow Mushroom Clemson, for a night of college bowl game previews. Mellow Mushroom Clemson.
Tiger Boulevard, Clemson.
Have you considered the legacy you'll leave behind for your family? The staff at Green Law Firm is here to help you create a legacy you'll be proud of. The best time to plan for the future is now. Whether it's a straightforward will, power of attorney, family trust, or another option, David Green is here to guide you in choosing the right path for you and your loved ones. Call today, 864-271-7940, or visit greenlaw.legal so he can start planning your family's legacy together.
When is a symphony actually a rock show? When the Black Jacket Symphony comes to town. Experience the era of Yacht Rock live as top-tier musicians recreate iconic albums, note for note, sound for sound, with stunning precision. It's not just a concert. It's a masterclass in rock nostalgia and sonic perfection. Catch the magic December 20th at the Walhalla Performing Arts Center. Tickets at walhallapac.com. Don't miss a night of legendary music. You'll never hear rock the same way again.
For Christmas, treat her to a special day of relaxation and rejuvenation at Lilia Day Spa, Anderson's best spa 13 years in a row. The Lilia Day Spa staff can restore her mind, body, and spirit in a relaxing and private environment. Select from the one-day or many holiday packages. Lilia Day Spa can create something special for her. A gift certificate is ideal for Christmas and shows her you care. 116 Benson Street, downtown Anderson. Lilia Day Spa, Anderson's premier spa 13 years in a row.
Do you hate brown or dead-looking turf in the winter? At Carolina Top Dressing, they can turn your lawn into the beautiful summer green lawn everyone loves with their turf painting service. Also, now through winter is the best time to amend your soil and establish healthy roots. Ask about the soil conditioning program to get this done. Mention you heard this ad on The Roar, and you can save 10% off any of our services. Call today, 864-999-SAND, or visit CarolinaTopDressing.com to get a free quote.
Honor your graduates' achievements with a keepsake that truly stands out. Collegiate Legacy Designs offers handcrafted and hand-finished, fully licensed ring plaques for Clemson University and the Citadel, made by proud Clemson alum Greg Terry and his wife Julie. With unanimous five-star reviews and lots of repeat customers, these plaques make the perfect gift for Christmas, recent graduates, or upcoming graduates. Get your order in today at CollegiateLegacyDesigns.com. That's CollegiateLegacyDesigns.com.
Keeping your commercial roof in its best condition keeps your business running. Adams & Co. understands how important your business is to our community, your family, and your employees.
Whether you have shingle, silicone, TPO, metal, or a bitumen roof,
we not only repair current damage and leaks, but can also offer a free roof inspection to help catch small issues before they become a big problem. 864-260-0080. Call Adams & Co. for all your commercial roofing needs. Adams & Co., making a difference one roof at a time.
Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. If you want to potty like a rock star, you can with us. At Royal Flush Toilet Rentals, we offer construction porta-potty rentals, septic tank pumping, and luxury toilet trailers. Call 864-238-8800. We have two-stall, three-stall, and four-stall trailers for your corporate events, wedding parties, and special occasions. Call 864-238-8800. Royal Flush Toilet Rentals.
With Bojangles' 8-piece family meal, you can treat your family to a delicious dinner that's easier on the wallet. 8 pieces of hand-breaded chicken, a range of fixins, scratch-made biscuits, and tea. It's bow time.
Holidays are quickly approaching, and there is no better way to shop for Western and workwear fashion for men, women, and children than at Cherokee Outfitters in Gaffney. If you hurry in now, you can save 10% by just mentioning the Roar FM. This excludes firearms. We also carry hunting and fishing clothes, gear, and supplies. With brands like Carhartt, Ariat, Cinch, Wrangler, and many more, you can get everything you need in one stop. Visit today right off I-85 at exit 90 or 92, just down Peachoid Road.
Hey, don't be a Grinch.
Merry Christmas.
Your team might be 3-9, 6-6, 9-3, or 12-0 this season.
Oh yeah, our Christmas tree is all about our favorite sports team.
But it's still the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes,
we are your source for sports talk this holiday season. 105.5 and 97.5, we are The Roar.
Don't rock the jukebox. Wanna hear some Jones? 'Cause my heart ain't ready for the Rolling Stones. I don't feel like rocking since my baby's
All right, hour one continues. Lots to unpack there from those two phone calls. We'll get to it here in just a second. First, speaking of unpacking, how would you like to unwrap a great gift this new year? You're basically just unwrapping your future, a better life, a better way forward. That's PhD weight loss. A lot of people are setting New Year's resolutions. I think it's crazy to say, you know what, in 3 weeks, I'm going to start being great. I do it sometimes with, like, I've done it with Bible reading plans before. I'm like, well, I'm not going to finish this year, so I'll just wait till the new year. Man, that's crazy. Just start right now. People have said it with weight loss forever and ever, working out forever and ever. Why don't you start today? With PhD weight loss, it's easier than ever to start before the new year because they're adding 2 free weeks to your program so you can ramp up during the holidays and start the new year already working towards those goals. You're going to hit January already losing, already feeling better, already dropping the pounds, getting comfortable with the program, and feeling the sustainability of the model. It's great. It's unbelievable. The metabolic reset system doesn't use drugs. It doesn't starve you. It doesn't do endless workouts. You're just teaching your body to burn fat first. It's science. It's biology. It's a wonderful thing. When you call, you mention 2 weeks on the phone. They'll waive your consultation fee and pay for the cost of your food during the program. There's no reason to wait. Call PhD Weight Loss today, 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900, or go to myphdweightloss.com. I agree with everything that Zeke said on his phone call at the end of the last game. I agree with everything that he said. A.J. DeBansa, he plays for BYU. Clemson doesn't have that guy. Jed got in earlier and said he looked like Tracy McGrady last night. Honestly, Terrence Oglesby texted me last night, said the same thing. He looks like Tracy McGrady. Tracy McGrady was in the building.
I was thinking him or Jaylen Brown. Like a super Jaylen Brown, kind of get to the mid-range, get fouled.
I mean, it was one of those things. And this is why I went to the SGA comparison. Because last year when the Thunder got in a hard spot against the Pacers, you know what they did? They put SGA in a middle ball screen that was only designed to see if they were going to switch or not. And then they would just clear it out, space the floor. And then SGA would just go get where, if it was a smaller defender than it up on him, he would go and try to elevate over that player. If it was a bigger defender, he would try to get around that player. If there was help defense coming, he would find the open player. It was just, it's so difficult. When you have a player that is singularly able to impact a possession in that way as a scorer, that can also see the right pass, then it's difficult. The other thing that you did, because you might say, well, just don't let him touch the ball. Well, Sam, Clemson wasn't making a lot of shots. What did I say yesterday? I said it yesterday. The easiest thing in the world is to say the team needs to make shots to win. But it goes beyond just the score. When you make shots, you get to set your defense. You get to tag in the backcourt. You basically get to dictate who gets the inbounds pass. And you get to dictate, to a certain extent, when A.J. DeBansa touches the ball. Okay? You've got the number one pick in the NBA draft coming up, probably, who was basically able to touch the ball as soon as he wanted and then just hold it. Like, if you notice in the first half, there was a lot of, like, trying to get him free on the wing where he could go attack, or he's getting the ball late in possessions. There are other guys who were the primary ball handlers. Some of that is because Clemson sort of angled its defense that way to try to get the ball in the hands of different people to bring it up the floor, because you can do that when you make shots.
Texter said, why didn't we immediately double him in the post? They did.
They did.
And then he lobbed it up to Keita because you double in the post, you bring backside help. What does that mean? That means someone's standing in the dunker spot like Keita was, wide open, and this is the separation skill that DeBansa has that, I'll be honest, I didn't realize he had at the level that he does. He's really good at passing out of a double. He's really good at manipulating pick and roll coverages. He's really good at reading when a big is going to drop on a roll, and he absolutely obliterated Clemson in that consistently. The double team stuff is what impressed me about Cooper Flagg last year, his ability to pass out of it and run the offense when there was so much attention placed on him. DeBansa did the same thing last night. That's an NBA trait. That's the stuff that's going to get you drafted high. That's the stuff that Shea does really well. On top of, I know a lot of people don't like it, but the ability to consistently draw a foul the way DeBansa did last night is a huge swing skill in the NBA. It's often the difference between stardom and superstardom. He's got it.
On the other side of the floor, and this is, I told my wife this at halftime, because we had a texture that was like, would you rather be tied or up 20 at the half? And Sam, you responded and said you take the 20-point lead every time. But the point is, like, a 20-point lead, basically everybody knows about gravity, right? What goes up must come down. You knew BYU was going to make a run. So my wife is saying, oh, man, I'm worried that they're up. I said, look, you think about the game like this. You're in a race to 70, okay? In order to score 70, BYU has to score 48 points in 20 minutes. That's likely not going to happen. So if Clemson just gets to 70, you win the race. Look at the final score. BYU, as well as they played in the second half, they did not get to 70. In my opinion, Clemson did not lose this game because it didn't do an impossible thing, right? Now, could you have been a little better, a little more confident in some of your coverages with the Bonsa? Yeah, I mean, sure. Of course you could have. Could you have not let Keita get two free runs to the basket with his 9-foot-long arms? I mean, could you have done it? Yes. But my issue with Clemson was on the offensive end. That Clemson was too deliberate and way, way too passive and cautious and careful. Really for no reason in the second half. In the first half, the ball reversal, the persistence of getting the ball into the post, making the right play, getting on the offensive glass, tremendous. Do you realize Clemson had 7 offensive rebounds? There are two things on a rebounding, okay? There were 17 offensive rebounds in the first half. Clemson had 10 and BYU had 7. Neither team did a really super job of getting defensive rebounds. But the difference in the second half is that Clemson had 7 offensive rebounds and 0 second chance points. They didn't capitalize on any of their second chances. And they certainly weren't doing a good job of first shot offense. They weren't getting good shots, and the few that they got, they were not making them.
Every possession took 26 seconds at minimum. The disappointment to me was Clemson was up, what, 9 or 10 when the 15-minute rim adjustment timeout came, and BYU was on a run already and had all the momentum. That was a heaven-sent miracle for Clemson, right? Like, BYU has all the momentum. This is their game the rest of the way. You could see the writing on the wall there, and then the game stops, and all that momentum dies, and you have layup lines in the middle of the second half. Clemson should have been able to regain some of that momentum. For the next 5 or 6 minutes until they went 7 for their last 9 at the end of the game when they had gone down and had established they can't stop DeBonta, they can't stop the pick-and-roll lob game, they didn't regain that momentum or at least even the momentum out straight out of that long stoppage. That was kind of when I felt the writing on the wall. That was right there for them. That was the most perfectly timed thing you could have asked for. And they couldn't take advantage of it. A lot of that was DeBonta being individually excellent, and a lot of it was Clemson's offense being very stagnant. But for whatever reason, they just could not regain any sort of footing in that game.
Yeah, a couple of texts. We'll try to squeeze in a phone call here too, because we got Will Vannevort in the next segment. He had a schedule adjustment today, so we're gonna have to get him in. Texter says you can't let one guy beat you. Why not try some zone D, even box and one? They did. There were a couple possessions where Jay Billis said it looked like they were running a box and one. It looked like they were running a box and one against DeBonta.
I think they tried everything.
It truly didn't matter. You can't let one guy. I mean,
I think they tried every coverage they could. Pretty much.
That's the best pro prospect in college basketball. I mean, there's only so much you can do. Let's go to Matt, who's up with us next. Final phone call this hour. What's up, Matt?
What's up, Clark? How you doing?
Oh, I'm good, buddy. Great to hear from you.
Yeah, man. Couple things. Clemson basketball. One, I want to get. I'm gonna get your starting five for this team too. We can take that off the air. But this team is, to me, it seems like there's a lot of people that are, you know, worthy of starting. And I'm curious just to see what your take is on that. And then last night, you know, they did to us in the second half, and we did to them, and they weren't hitting shots in the first half, and we were getting able to set our defense, and we were getting able to set the tone. The game was much faster, and I understand when you're coming out of halftime with a 20-point lead, you want to eat up some clock, and you don't want to play too fast, and we're also very good in the half court, the high-low, that's Clemson's thing. But to me, even when they're scoring, I felt like when they got down to, you know, a 12-point, we're up by 12 instead of up by 20, and then we're up by 10, and they're scoring, and we're not scoring, and we could have pushed the ball. Just push more, inbound fast, go, push more, then bounce back to your half-court set. It just seemed like they played too timid. They were playing They're planning to run the clock
out.
Hey,
buddy, I got to let you run. I apologize. Hour one's done.
CCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Sitting here again today with our good friend Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for